Morning. Today's daf in Erevin, Ayin Gimel. We are starting on Ayin Beis Amud Beis. We are just a little bit before the Mishnah. We're going to be finishing off the Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel we saw yesterday in the Mishnah Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. And then we go on to discuss establishment of who needs to contribute to the Chatzir and whether it's a predicate of where you eat or where you sleep. That's going to be a big topic in today's daf. It'll cover Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. Then I give moment base. We go back to the topic of the interplay between Erev and Shituf. Let's start off. The Mishnah in yesterday's daf on Ayin Beis Amud Aleph brought down a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel when you are living in a traklin. So you're living in some sort of palatial mansion, and there are makeshift walls separating the residence, kind of like dividers. And the question becomes, at what point in time are they considered separate residences within the palatial mansion, or when are they considered united and unified? And so in the Gemara yesterday, it was a lengthy discussion in the Gemara, not so lengthy, but in terms of what exactly is going to be the dividers that are dividing the people that are living in the palatial mansion, makeshift walls, Mesipas Ba'ama, just simple makeshift dividers. Anyway, so the Gemara had a number of positions that we saw yesterday. The position that we landed on yesterday is that if the makeshift dividers go all the way up to the ceiling, so then that divides all the residences within this palatial mansion. If, however, they're makeshift dividers like cubicles, so to say, and the walls don't go up to the ceiling, so then they're considered like one united entity. Okay. Tana, the Gemara now, we're picking up right where we left off yesterday, and we're starting here with a Braisa. Now, the Braisa the Gemara is quoting, we're mamash right in the middle of the Amud. The last word in the lines are Tana and Bameh. So this Braisa over here is going to have a different understanding of the Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, meaning unlike the one that we saw in the Mishnah, where it was a question of whether or not they're considered five entities or they're considered one entity, the Braisa over here is going to understand it significantly differently. Bameh Dvar Mamorim. So what was the case of the Mishnah? When the people of this mansion are taking their Erev and they're bringing it over to somebody else's house. Meaning, they're not the only mansion in the Chatzir. There are other people living in the same Chatzir. Other residences in the same Chatzir. So when they're bringing it over to another one, so then, under those circumstances, they have to make a contribution. But if the Erev is coming to them, so then everyone's of the position that it's one Erev, and one Erev is going to be sufficient for everybody. So when the Erev is coming to them, so then, according to both Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel, so it's Erev Echad, so then they only have to make one contribution. And, by the way, let's also remind each other what we saw earlier in the Masechta, back on Daf Memtes, the host of the Erev does not have to make a contribution to the Erev. So that means to say that And what the Gemara is making now are two points. One is that when the Erev is being brought to the house, so then we have agreement between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel that they are considered like one entity. It's one home and they're one entity. And on top of that also, we're just going to layer on top of that the point that we made earlier, and that is that they don't have to make a contribution themselves because they are the host of the Erev. Okay, so based on the Braisa that we just learned together, so the Gemara now, Kaman Azla had the Tanya. We have a Braisa. And the Braisa says, Chamisha Shagavu is Eruvan. Let's say five people collected the Erev, and then you have five different residences in the Chatzir, and each one made a contribution. Kishamolich and Eruvan Lamakamachir, when they take their Erev to another place, Eruvecha Lakulan. So, in other words, they are now moving it to a secondary Chatzir in order to join the two adjoining Chatzirs. So only one person needs to bring a command ke Beis Hillel. So that now follows the shita of Beis Hillel, meaning that this Braisa that we just learned together is going to be exactly what we saw in Shita's Beis Hillel, according to the Braisa that we just learned. The Gemara Ikadamri, the Gemara has another version of this discussion, Mamed Var Mamorim, Kishaya Erev Ba'at Salman, the Erev is coming to them. Im Hayu Molichin Es Erev L'Makam Achir. So, but if they're going to be taking the Erev to another place, so divrei hakol tzrichim Erev l'chol chabur v'chabura, so there, they're going to need an Erev for every single chabura, meaning to say that in this Braisa, so even though they already are considered united, nevertheless, when they bring their Erev over to another Chatzar, adjoining Chatzar, in order to incorporate their Chatzar with another Chatzar, so every member has to bring it. So the Gemara says now, That does not going to fit so well. So Kaman Azla Had Tanya, the Gemara says, okay, now consider, because we have the Braisa, Chamisha Shegavu Eruvan, when I have five people that already make collection for their Eruv, and they want to now incorporate an adjoining Chatzir with their Eruv, Kishamolichin is Eruv, Erevun, Lamakamacher, Eruv Ech Lekulan. Only one person needs to bring it over, so Delo Kechad. So the Gemara says, fine, that Braisa that we just learned is not going to be going like the Braisa that we just quoted in the Ikadarmi in the second version. Fine, and so, and we just simply are not going to have agreement between the second version of the Braisa and the baseline halacha, that when our chatzar, which is already incorporated, which already made an Eruv, is bringing it over to an adjoining Eruv, so you only need one person to bring it over, because in other words, we're already unified, so one person can represent us all. That's the halacha. And meanwhile, based on the Ikadamri, the Ikadamri is not going to be following this position. Okay. I kind of takes us now to the end of, we'll call it yesterday's daf, not exactly, we're still in yesterday's daf, but the idea now is that when I have multiple residences within a chatzar, each one needs to make a contribution, and so now the Gemara is going to be discussing where they may be living in different homes, but basically it's one account. And for example, you have kids, right? Kids living off the father's income and the father's estate. So under those circumstances, even if they're in separate homes, how do we view it in terms of the requirement of Eruv? So the Mishnah starts off. So you have a group of brothers living in the chatzer, and they're eating at the father's table. But they're living at their own homes, and they're sleeping at their own homes. So let's say the Mishnah is not particularly clear about the financial arrangement that existed between father and son, meaning the Mishnah is not being clear that the father was the one who bought the homes of the kids, and for the purposes of Eruv, that may or may not be significant. What is going to be significant, and it's going to be clear, because really the Gemara is going to distill the entire discussion to basically this point, and that is the determinant of you needing to bring your own Eruv. Is it going to be determinant of where you're sleeping or where you're eating? Right? That's where the Gemara is going to be setting the litmus test in terms of whether or not you need to make a contribution or you don't need to make a contribution. So over here, the Mishnah talks about brothers living in the same chaser as their father. And when it comes to mealtime, so they go to their father, right? They are ochlin al shulchan avihim. Now, again, I know I'm hammering the point, but doesn't necessarily mean somchin al shulchan avihim. Now, it could be that they're still getting full support from the father. But right now, just in terms of looking at this Mishnah, not out of context, but just in the context of Eruvin, it could just simply be that it's Ochlin al Shulchan Avim. In other words, for mealtime, they go to dad. So, but they are sleeping in their own homes. So the Mishnah says that an Eruv is necessary for each one of them. By virtue of the fact that they're sleeping in their own homes, so that now creates a separate entity of them from their father, and therefore each one needs to make a contribution. If one of them were to forget and not make a contribution to the Eruv, so since each one of them represents now their own separate entity with their own requirement to make a contribution, so what if they fail to do so? So the Mishnah tells us what we already knew. Mevatel es rushuso. So then you're going to do betal rishus. They're going to have to relinquish the rights, their rights into the chatzer, so that everyone else can carry within the chatzer. Amasai. Now when is this the case? Bizman shemalichin eruvim b'makom. Acher, that's when they're going to be taking the Eruv and putting it into another place in the Chatzar. Aval im haya Eruv ba'etzlan. So, or if the Eruv was brought to them, meaning if they're hosting the Eruv. So, o she'enei mahem diyurim b'chatzar. Or there's, let's say, nobody else in the Chatzar. So, ein tzrichin la'aris. So then there's no requirement for them to make an Eruv. Rashi over here, molichin es Eruvam. So the Rashi writes, "Lisito be'echam ibati shar b'nei achatzer dahol v'huzkaku le'eruv amrina b'gemara migo deshar diurim asrei inu nami asrei utzrichen kulan litein pas hol v'chalukin diurim belino mekable pras hein k'demuki b'gemara she'ein ochlin beveis aviyam mamish." Okay, so Rashi over here. Sorry, this Rashi we could really have waited until we get to the Gemara. Rashi over here is setting up the Mishnah's case where they're not mamish eating at their father's house, but they are. They're receiving portions from their father. We're going to come back to that point in just a moment. Aval im haya, it's the next Rashi. Sorry, I wanted to focus on the next Rashi. im aval im haya erev kol hachatzer ba'le beis avihem. Okay, so Rashi over here writes. Now the Mishnah clearly is modifying, and the Mishnah is clearly limiting, and that is the Mishnah says that if they are hosting the erev, Rashi over here says who's the they that's hosting the erev. So Rashi writes over here clearly, meaning that it doesn't necessarily mean any of the brothers are hosting the erev, but even if the father's hosting the erev, let's see this Rashi. Aval im haya erev kol hachatzer ba'le beis avihem shelo huzkaku le'erev. Darminim b'misho tziu bai shemanichem bo erev ein tzarech liten es apas ve'em kulam nimshachem bo. So let's say dad was the one who is hosting the erev. So first of all, we already said this morning, but let's say it again. The host of the erev does not need to make a contribution to the erev. And so since now father is hosting the erev, and since the kids are eating by the father, so therefore that now is going to obviate a need for not only the father, but for any of the kids as well, to have to contribute to the Erev. Now, I know that becomes now a little bit confusing, because moments earlier we said that since the kids are sleeping in their own home, so each one of the kids now is going to need to contribute to the Erev. And meanwhile, we're now saying that if the father is hosting the Erev, and the father no longer needs to bring an Erev, the kids don't as well. So there is still a sense of dependency on the part of the kids to the father, where now once the father's obligation to not have to make an Erev goes away, so the kids as well. The next part of the Mishnah gives us another exception, another exemption in which the kids don't have to contribute to the Erev, and that is if there's no other residents of the Erev, meaning that in a situation where it is all the members of the Chatzar are this particular family, dad and all the kids, so under those circumstances, so then there is no requirement for a need for contribution to the Erev. That's the next Rashi. Once it's just the family, it's just the nuclear family that's living in this chatzer, and nobody else, no other people living in the chatzer. So for vis-a-vis now the halachas of Erev, they're now considered a single entity. The only time that the halacha views them as multiple entities, each one of them requiring to have to contribute to the Erev, is if there are other people living in the chatzer. Okay, all this is going to be explained better in the Gemara, but Rashi on the Mishnah explains now these two exemptions where I have multiple members of the family living in the chatzer, and there are going to be occasions where the kids don't have to contribute to the Eruv, and we just went through the two of them in the Mishnah. Now, Shema Mina. We start with the Gemara's discussion, and immediately, if you look at the Mishnah, and in a standard case, aside from the two exceptions that we just spoke about, in a standard case where I have the father living in the chatzer and the kids living in the chatzer, so what is going to determine whether or not each one of the kids is going to have to make their own separate contribution to the Eruv? It's going to be where they sleep. That seems to be a simple reading of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah states that if they eat by the father but they sleep in the home, so then they are going to have to contribute to the Eruv. And it sounds like in the Mishnah, simple reading of the Mishnah, that where they sleep is going to be the determinant. So Shema Mina Mokum Lina Gorim. So I'm Rav Yudah Marav. Rav Yudah Marav says, not necessarily. In other words, the Mishnah is talking about a case where they're receiving support from the fathers, but they're eating in their own homes. And and they're not eating by the father. So under those circumstances, that's when the Mishnah is talking about each one needs to make a contribution. So basically what comes out now is that Rav Yudah Marav, and the key over here is to focus on Rav. So Rav's of the position that really, the Mishnah is not just talking about where they're sleeping in their own homes, they're eating in their own homes as well. It just happens to be that financially, they're receiving the food from the father, but they're eating in their own homes. And it's under those circumstances, and according to Rav, only under those circumstances where each one of them has to make a contribution. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes, Ebrais Mishish Lo Beishar, Achsadro Merpesas, Bechatzer Chavero. Let's say you do have property in another chatzer, but the property is not a residential property. It's a gatehouse or achsadra merpesa, some sort of porch. So the harizeh ein osar alav. You're not creating any restrictions. Meaning, if you do not own a house of residence in some other chatzer, so you create no restrictions. However, so base tevin, base bakar, base aitzim, base atzar. So if you own some sort of storage house, a storage house of straw or for animals, or for wood, or just some sort of storage house, harizeh osar alav. So it's interesting. Obviously, it's not a residential home, but nevertheless, it is a home of utility, and things are stored over there. So according to the Tanakhama, this Brisa, that's enough. That's enough now where you, the owner of that, create restriction. And so therefore, either A, you're going to make a contribution to the Erev, or B, if you didn't, you're going to have to be Mevat Rishus in order to allow everyone else to carry. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no sale of Makam Dira, Rabbi Yehuda says, no. The only thing that creates this is only Makam Dira. It has to be a residential property in order to create Isser. Am Rav Yehuda Maisa Bevanavcha. Rav Yehuda tells the following story. Standard, by the way, that Rav Yehuda, right, we've seen this numerous times. Rav Yehuda tells the story in order to support his position. So Maisa Bevanavcha Shayelo Chamesh Chaseros Beusha. So he had houses in five different Chaseros. Uva Maisa Lefne Chacham V'Amar Eino Oser Ela Beis Dira Bavad. And he went to the Chachamim and he asked the question, where do I have to be a contributor of the five chaseros in which I own properties in each of those five chaseros? Where do I need to be a contributor towards the Eruv? And the Chacham's response is only the one in which you are residing. That one and only that one do you have to make a contribution. The other ones where you're not living in, so you don't have to make a contribution. Beis Dira Sakadacham. So Alayim Makam Dira. Now, the Gemara just cleans up the language because it said Beis Dira, which just simply sounds like that it has to be a house of residence. But the Gemara immediately cleans it up. It doesn't have to be a house of residence. It just simply has to be makom dira. It's a place where you are actually residing. You're using it as a home of residence. Continuing in the Gemara, my makom dira. Okay, so now in order to establish that you need to be contributed to the chutz and the eruv, so you have to be, it has to be for you, a place of residence. Now, a place of residence is going to be established by what? And they're going to be, as already pointed out back in the Mishnah, but here we're going to see it together now inside, there are going to be two criteria in terms of determining which of the which of these two factors is going to decide as to whether or not this is your makom dira. The Gemara starts off by makom dira, Rav Amar. So now as we're now on the top of Ayin Gimel Mid Aleph, so Rav's position is makom pisa. It's where you eat. Rashi shehu ochel sham. So the place of your eating is going to determine your residence. So Shmuel Amar, Makom Lina. And Shmuel's of the position that's Makom Lina, it's where you sleep. So here we have a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel in terms of what is going to establish your Makom Dira. Is it going to be the place you eat or the place you sleep? Rav says the place you eat and Shmuel says the place you sleep. So on a separate point, comes up numerous times in terms of young men learning in yeshiva who are lighting Chanukah. Chanukah licht, so question comes up, where are they going to light? Now, it happens to be that the halachas of contribution to Erev do not necessarily need to parallel the halachas of where you are lighting your menorah, but you're going to hear a lot of this kind of discussion in terms of establishing where your home is. In other words, is it the place you sleep? Is it the place you eat? Now, vis-a-vis the halachas over here, in terms of Erev, so normally machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, by Isser v'heter, this is Isser v'heter, so the halacha is going to feel a lot like Rav, which would mean that over here it would be the place where you eat. And by Chanukah that may not necessarily be so. Anyway, but you hear this kind of discussion as it comes to near Chanukah. But anyway, Meisvei. So let's go back to our Gemara, top of Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, and let's now continue the discussion of this Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, and the Gemara is going to challenge. This happens to be that it's going to be challenged to Rav. Haron ve'kaitzenim ve'aburganim v'shomrei peros. So you have various people who are guarding. Roeh is somebody who's guarding animals, a shepherd, or somebody who's kaitzanim, somebody who's guarding figs, burganin, shomrei peros, other types of watchmen. So bizman shedarkan lalin ba'ir. So if they're sleeping in the city, harehein kancheir. So now they're going to be like the members of the city. And bizman shedarkan lalin basada. Now if they sleep on the field, yesh lem apayim l'chol ruach. They have 2,000 amos in every direction from where they are out in the field. Now, we just shifted in topic, so I don't want to let that point go by us. Meaning, we're talking about Erev Chatzeros and the requirement of a contribution. The Brisa we just quoted is talking about Erev Tchum in terms of establishing your Makum Shvisa, your point of center, which we discussed extensively in our Masechta in the 3rd, 4th, and 5th parak of Erevin. But meanwhile, what the Gemara is assuming is, whatever is going to be establishing your Makum Shvisa vis-a-vis Eruvei Tchumim is also going to be what's establishing your Makum Dira in terms of Eruvei Chatzeros. The Gemara is making that kind of assumption. So the Gemara says, okay, good. Now the Brisa we just said is, what is it contingent on? Where you sleep. Okay, so this seems to be proof positive to the position of Shmuel, and obviously a significant challenge against Rav. So So the Gemara says, not necessarily, because over there we have what's called an Anan Sahadi. Anan Sahadi is this idea that there are certain things which are self-evident, right? Self-evident truths, right? To quote one of our forefathers. But we have over here a self-evident truth, and the Anan Sahadi basically means that there are certain things which are so obvious and so self-evident that that we know that even though they sleep in one place, eat in another place, that's not their that's not really their interest. In fact, if you would bring bread over there, tfei nichale, it would have been much more preferable for them to eat over there. Meaning the fact that they don't eat over there is just simply out of necessity. But that's not the preference. And so it's interesting over here now, we're establishing Makum Dira, again, in the context of the Brisa, we're really establishing Makum Shvisa, but we are assuming that the two are the same. We're assuming that Makum Dira is not necessarily where you actually eat, but where you would prefer to eat. That's what effectively the Gemara is saying. So Amar Rav Yosef Lo Shmieli Hashmaita. So Rav Yosef says, you know, I never heard this. And now it happens to be that I think in Masechta Erevin, more than any other Masechta, so Rav Yosef is now, we see the Gemara now where Rav Yosef is relearning his learning. We've said this already numerous times here in Erevin. Rav Yosef got sick. He lost his vision. He lost his memory. He was constantly reminded by his students, Abai and Rava, about that which he actually taught, meaning aside from the fact that he learned, that which he actually taught. So Rav Yosef says, Lo Shmi Allah Hashmaita, I don't remember this. So Amalei Abaye Tamar Ni'alan, and Abaye says to him, no, you're the one who taught this to him. Va'aha Amrina Ni'alan, Ha'achim Shayu Ochlin, Ha'shochan Aviyam, when I have brothers who are eating by the father's table, V'yishin B'vatem, and sleeping in their own homes, Tzrichin Erev L'chol Echad Ve'echad. So you need an Erev for every one of them. Each one of them needs to make a contribution. Va'amrina Lach, and now we said to you, Sh'mamina Makom Lina Gorim. So we thought, oh, Makom Lina, meaning we thought like Shmuel, that Makom Lina. Now you explain to us, I'm Rav Yehuda Merav, ben Mekabli Prashanu. No, that case over there, the Mishnah's case is talking about a case of Mekabli Pras, where the sons were receiving some sort of stipend from the father, and the sons were eating in their own home. That's the case of the Brisa. I'm sorry, that's the case of the Mishnah. And so therefore, it's not, don't look at the Mishnah as being a referendum on whether or not it's Makom Lina or Makom Pita. It is really where you eat. That's significant, and we're just going to give an ukimta in the case of the Mishnah. Okay. We are moving on. We're in the Gemara now on Gimel Amud Aleph. We're about a third of the way down. We're going to be talking about other types of relationships. Tana Rabbanan Mishesh L'Chamish Nashim Mekabos Pras Mibaleihem. So person has five wives. Each one of them has a separate house in the Chatzer. And each one of them is going to be receiving support from the husband. Or the person has five avadim, each one of them living in their own home within the chatzer. Each one of them is receiving support from the owner. So Rav Yehuda ben Basera matir benashim ve'oser ba'avadim. Rav Yehuda ben Bava matir ba'avadim ve'oser benashim. So here you have a machlokes hatanayim in terms of the nature of the relationships vis-a-vis the halachas of Erevin. Where is it considered like a single entity, multiple homes, but single entity where one contribution is needed? Or when is it considered like multiple homes and multiple entities, and therefore multiple contributions need to be made? And here amongst the Tanaim actually are going to be literally polar opposite positions. According to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, so he says that when it comes to the case of Nashim, so he says it's mutter, meaning that the wives are considered part and parcel of the husband, united with the husband, and as a result of that, they only one contribution is necessary for that group, right? They and on the other hand, for avadim, he considers them to be separate entities. The avadim are not considered one with the master vis-a-vis the halachas of Erevin. And if you think about it, mistaber, meaning if I can the Gemara. It's interesting. The Gemara is going to be spending more time on Rav Yehuda ben Bava, no time on Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, but perhaps it's because Rav Yehuda ben Beseira is somewhat self-evident. meaning that for Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, so despite the fact that he's married to more than one wife, he's got five wives and each one of them has got their own home, but at the same time though, the united nature of a husband and wife, admittedly over here, it's the united nature of one husband and many wives, and it's hard for us in our, you know, in our modern thinking to think about that as a united home, but nevertheless though, it's perfectly allowable to marry more than one wife, and, you know, ishto kegufo, and even though it's multiple ishtos, okay, not the best grammar, but even though it's multiple ishtos, but nevertheless, it's all one entity, one singular entity, and therefore only one contribution. On the other hand, your evet is your evet. In other words, he's not you, and yes, there is obviously a strong relationship between you and your evet, but obviously it's not the same as this kind of relationship of a husband and wife. That's all according to the Shita of Rav Yehuda ben Becerra. Rav Yehuda ben Bava is on the opposite side of this entire discussion. And he says no. He says that when it comes to your Eved, the Eved is so subordinate to its owner, so therefore it's a single entity. But not, that's not true by women. And not true by your wives, I should say. In other words, that they are not considered as subordinate to you, in which by Hilchos Erevin, the one contribution would work for everybody, but rather it would be each one of them would have to bring a separate contribution to the Erev. Amar Rav, my time to Rav Yehuda ben Bava, what's the reason? Dechsiv, v'daniel bisra malka. So when describing the relationship of Daniel, who was an Eved to Nebuchadnezzar, so he was by the gate of the king, meaning the Navi describes it as that he was always by the gate of the king, meaning regardless of where he was, we always viewed him as being a member of the king's palace. And so you see that the pasuk over here speaks to the idea of the subordinate nature of the relationship between an eved and his master. And so therefore, regardless of where he is in the chatzar, he's like by the master's home. So pshita, the Gemara says, here are things which I think are obvious. Pshita ben etzel aviv kedamar, and that when you have a son who lives in the same chatzar of his father, like our Mishnah said, so the father's Erev is going to cover. And Isha Eitzel Bala, the Eved Eitzel Rabbo, Plukted Rabbi Yehuda Ben Becerra, Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bava. And as far as a wife to her husband and an Eved to his master, so we just went over. It's a machlokas between the Rabbi Yehudas, Rabbi Yehuda Ben Becerra and Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bava. And Talmud Eitzel Rabbo mine. Now what about a Talmud by his Rebbe? Now this one's an interesting one because, in other words, we don't fully appreciate or understand the nature of the relationship. In other words, obviously the Rebbe's teaching the student, but in terms of hosting and finances, so it's not perfectly clear in the Gemara what kind of responsibilities. We know a husband has a responsibility to support his wife. We know that a master has a responsibility to support his Eved. So in that regard, those are clear. Is the same thing true regarding a Rav and his Talmud? So, right. So that part is not perfectly clear. And so therefore, we understand the question, but not fully. But anyway, so Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, the Rabbi Chia Amar, Rav, when he was learning by Rabbi Chia, so he says, we don't have to make a contribution to the Erev. Meaning, Rav was living in a chatzar with his Rabbi Chia, and Rav was, again, to the best of our understanding, supported by Rabbi Chia. And so Rav says, look, I'm so subordinate to Rabbi Chia, I'm a student, so therefore I don't have to make my own contribution to the Erev. Shariyano Samchan al Shulchan al Rabbi Chia, we're relying on the table of Rabbi Chia. And Rabbi Chia bar Rabbi Amar, Anu Ein Tzrichim La'arev, Shariyano Samchan al Shulchan al Rabbi. And Rabbi Chia says, look, I'm going to go back to once upon a time, I was a student and I was a student of Rabbi. And I was living in the same chatzar as Rabbi and I felt the same way. Right, obviously, Rav got it from Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia says that I didn't make a contribution to the Erev because, again, I was subordinate to that of Rebbe, and therefore I didn't have to make my own contribution to the Erev. Ba'minei Abai Mei Rabba, the Gemara continues now. Question that was posed from Abai to Rabba. Chamisha Shekavu Zeruvan. Kishamochen is Zeruv L'makam Acher. Erev Ech L'kulam Tzrichan Erev L'chol Echad Ve'echad. Okay, this is a topic which we covered actually earlier this morning and earlier in the Masechta. So it happens to be it takes us back to a brisa back on Daf Mem Tes. So the truth of the matter is that this is covered territory. Apparently, Abai didn't know the answer. But anyway, our chatzar already is now united. We made an Eruv. We now incorporated. and now there's an adjoining chatzer, and now we want to incorporate with the adjoining chatzer, so now, does it need only one of our representatives to go and make and bring bring a contribution from our chatzer to the adjoining chatzer? Or no, does each member of a chatzer now need to go over to the other chatzer and make a contribution in order that the two adjoining chatzers now be united? So hopefully you remember the answer. If not, the Gemara is going to tell us exactly what the answer was that we saw back on Mem Tes. Amar Lei, Erev Echa L'Kulan. No, one Erev, meaning only one participant of our chatzer needs to go over next door, next to the next door chatzer in order to make the contribution. Va'achim de'chi gavu damu, v'ketanit shrichim Erev l'chol echa v'echa. So the Gemara says now the brothers are basically a similar situation. In other words, aren't they viewed as this collection and collective where it's viewed as if they already were receiving they already joined in an Erev, and meanwhile we said that they each one of them needs to make an Erev. So the Gemara says, no, skin and going to Iga Diurim Ba'adayu. The Gemara says, no, you misunderstood. The case of the brothers living in a chatzer is when there are other people living in the chatzer. We're there, we're not incorporated. Meaning that because there are other people living in the chatzer outside of the family nucleus, so as a result of that now, each member of the family creates its own isser. And so that's why everybody needs to make a contribution. But in the case where we are already an incorporated chatzer, and now we want to join an adjoint chatzer, a chatzer right next door, so under those circumstances, we are already incorporated, so only one member of our corporation needs to go over to the next chatzer to make a contribution. It's not the same as the family and members living in this chatzer when there are other people living in this chatzer as well. Hachinami Mestab, the Gemara says, and look, this is the right way to learn the Mishnah. Diktani Emasab is Mancha Malichin is Irvim Mamakamacher. Avalim Hayu Eruvim Ba'etzlam. Oh, She'ein Duyurim Imahem Bechatzer Ein Tzrichin La'arev. Shmamina. It's clear in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says that if there are no other members of this chatzer, the members of this chatzer only are the father and his five sons, so under those circumstances, no Erev is necessary. So clearly, the Mishnah is making this distinction where if it's just the nucleus family that's living in this chatzer and no quote-unquote outsiders living in this chatzer, so under those circumstances, so then the family is already viewed as incorporated. And so therefore, there's no Erev necessary. But once you have an outsider joining this chatzer, under those circumstances, every member of our chatzer, every family member of our chatzer, needs to make their own contribution to the Erev. So let's say we have the members of the yeshiva. They're eating bread, but they're eating the bread in Bnei Baga. There's bed and breakfast. Now, when it comes to sleeping, they sleep in the yeshiva. Ki mashkin lo tchuma, mi bei rav mashkin alei, or mi baga mashkin alei. So when they're measuring tchum, again, this is a second example of today, where the Gemara is just seamlessly weaving in and out of the makum dira that is for a erev chatzeros, and the makum shvisa for an erev tchum. The Gemara assumes that they are one and the same issue. So they're sleeping in one place, they're eating in another place. Where are they measuring their tchum from? So Amalei Mashkin Mei Bei Rav. So they said they're going to be measuring from the Bei Rav, from where they sleep. V'ari Nosin Ezeruva B'toch Apayim Ama V'asi Ubais Bebeisei. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Somebody who puts an Eruv, meaning his Eruv Tchum down, and he's within 2,000 Amas of his home, V'asi Ubais Bebeisei, and he sleeps in his home, the Mashkin Lai Tchum Amei Eruva. You measure your tchum from your Eruv. Basically, what the Gemara is asking is that, do you know that in every case that you set up a makom shvisa with food, so do you know what the determinant is in terms of where you're going to be measuring your tchum? You're measuring it from your food, meaning that's the entire institution of Eruv tchum, is that it goes by your food. So I'm so not following. You're telling me that for the yeshiva boys, they eat in one place, they sleep in another place, so their tchum is going to be following that which they sleep by. What? That goes against the entire institution of Eruv Tchum. So the Gemara says, Ba'u anansahadeh, v'hada anansahadeh. So the Gemara says, once again, we also have to make certain assumptions. Again, we go back to this idea of anansahadeh. Certain truths which are self-evident, and over here we're going to say that these truths are self-evident. So which truths are self-evident? So Ba'u anansahadeh, di'i mitarleh, hausam nichaleh, That in terms of a person who sets up an Erev Tchum, moving his food to another location. So the truth of the matter is his food is there. He'd love to be there as well. Meaning if he could, he'd sleep there as well. Meaning that really is now his new residence going into the Shabbos. That's for the person setting up an Erev Tchum. Good. And he'd love to sleep there as well. I understand if he really wants to sleep there, so then why doesn't he sleep there? Okay, but anyway, but the point is, that's where he wants to, that's really where he wants to sleep. Uvahada anansahadeh, and in the case of the yeshiva boys, di'i maisali rifta lebe rav, so nichle tfei. Now they're eating by the bed and breakfast, but that's not really where they want to eat. They'd much rather eat by the yeshiva, but, okay, in other words, so we're looking at not only where they actually eat, but really where they would prefer to eat. And if it's so obvious, if it's so self-evident that this is where they would prefer to eat in the house of the yeshiva, so then the yeshiva for them becomes their makom shvisa, and so therefore they're sleeping there. They would prefer to eat there, so therefore for the Erev Tchum, that's where they're going to be measuring the Tchum from. Okay, so once again today, we see that not only where they eat is going to be determinant, but where it's actually they would prefer to eat as well. So when you have a chatzer, where you have a father and a son living in a chatzer, or you have a Talmud and Rebbe living in the chatzer. So question, are they considered like separate entities, or are they considered like a single entity? So tzrichim eruv. So now we're in tzrichim eruv. So first and foremost, so are they going to have to make contributions to the eruv? They're not going to have to make contributions to the eruv. So that's one issue. If they're a single entity, so then obviously they're not going to have to. They're not going to each have to contribute to the eruv. Only one of them is going to have to contribute to the eruv. So it's not even parenthetical. But the Gemara, when talking about Yechidim o Rabim, so Rashi understands that really what the Gemara is looking at over here is even another Nafkamina, in addition to the one raised in the Gemara. Rashi writes over here, Avav Noah, Rav Tamidik, Rav Ndami, Le'inyan, Shtei Chazer, Zuluf Nimezu, Udrisas, Regal, Hapnimish, Al Hachitzona. So Rashi says this takes us back to a discussion that we already had numerous times. An interior chatzer, an exterior chatzer. For an interior chatzer, aside from them living in the interior chatzer, they also have now traffic that necessarily takes him to the outer chatzer. And that's what's called drisas regel. And we know the halacha of drisas regel. It makes them as if they are now residents of the outer chatzer. Utanam b'masnisan. Now, we're going to be discussing this extensively in just a couple days from now. Im hayu shayachidim shayachidar b'pnimis da'avya regel. Hamutars bim kama ino saras ala bim kama. V'im shal rabim v'lo yirva p'nimis v'atzma. Da'avya regel asur bim kama. O saras ala chitzona. So Rashi reminds us of what the halach is, and that is as follows. If only one person were living in the interior, so therefore there's no need for an Erev on the interior because it's only one person, and so therefore that's what's called regel hamuteres bimkoma. And the halach is that if that traffic that they create is a traffic of heter, meaning the place where they come from is a makam heter, so then wherever they go through does not create iser. And just here I'll say parenthetically, by the way, it's going to end up becoming a machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim, which we saw earlier. But anyway, right now we're just expressing the viewpoint of the Chachamim, close parentheses. Meanwhile, however, if the interior chatzar is made up of two people and they didn't make an Erev and they failed to make an Erev, so under those circumstances, so now that is a regel ha'oser. That regel ha'oser now that's going to go through the outer chatzar, so that's going to create now iser in the outer chatzar. So again now, our question of a son, father, and a Rebbe Talmud living in the inner chatzar, having two separate homes. So are they considered like one entity? That would be a regel ha-mutter. Or they would be considered like two entities? That's a regel ha-oser. This is also going to be another application of this question. And then finally, mavi shalahem nitol b'lechi v'kara o einitol b'lechi v'kara. And the third nafkamina would be the following, and that is, if I have these two people living in a chatzar, a father, son, or a Rebbe Talmud, and then this chatzar adjoins a mavui, will it be able to help define the mavui? We go back to a discussion that we had in the beginning of the Masechta. What is a mavui? So structurally, we discussed it at length. It's got to be rectangular in shape. The length has got to be greater than the width. And what is spilling out into the mavui must be minimum two chatzeros. And each chatzar has to be minimum made up of two households. to houses, to households. And so now the Gemara is saying, here comes another nafka mina. If father, son is viewed as one entity, it will not help define the mavui as a mavui. If it is considered two separate entities, so then this chatzer that they are adjoining that's spilling out to the mavui qualifies as a chatzer with two houses, and therefore it will help the mavui define itself as a mavui. Of course, you still need another chatzer with two other houses with that other chatzer, but good. It helps now establish this mavui to be a mavui. So I'm related to Nisui, so he says, I know the answer. This is Rav Chisda's response. He says, I know the answer. We learned it in a braisa. Avo v'noa rav v'talmidah v'zman she'ein. Sorry. She'ein imahem diurim harein ki yechidim. As long as there's no other people living in the chatzer, so they are considered a single entity. The truth of the matter is the braisa is pretty much what we learned back in the Mishnah, but the braisa over here has both the cases of avo v'no and rav v'talmidah. So they're considered a single entity. And they also don't have to make a contribution to the Erev. And umavishalem nitar b'lechi v'kora. Now the mavui is nitar b'lechi v'kora. This bright over here, what did it do for us? It gave us a split decision, meaning vis-a-vis where it's where we're looking at drisa saregal and where we're looking at their requirement to make contributions to the Erev. So there we're going to call them a single entity. But when it comes to the formation of a mavui, we're going to call them multiple entities. How is the braisa making a split decision? So presumably, the easiest way to explain it is going to be, because what the braisa is effectively saying is, I was going to say, I don't know. I know it's not the best legal way to describe it. Meaning ambiguity. Okay. So when I have a father, son, and when I have a Rebbe Talmud living in the chatzer, so it's not perfectly clear where it is in terms of whether it's a single entity or multiple entity. And by Erevin, what do we have the allowance to do? We have the allowance to be Makel. So when it helps us calling them a single entity, i.e. their Drisus Regal is a Drisus Regal Hamutter, i.e. in terms of making a contribution to an Erev, they don't need to make a contribution to an Erev because it's one entity living in that Chatzer. So fine, so we're going to be Makel under those circumstances. If it's the formation of a mavui, where we want to give this mavui the status of a mavui, and viewing them as multiple entities is going to help us establishing this mavui as a mavui, because by the way, there are leniencies by a mavui, like we discussed in the first two parakim of our Masechta. So under those circumstances, so we say that the mavui is in fact, they are going to help in terms of identifying this mavui as a mavui. Good. So basically, it's a split decision in terms of whatever is going to be more mako. Okay. Chamesh chatzeres psuchim zulazu. We are now in the Mishnah on the bottom of Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, and we're continuing now in today's daf. I have five chatzeres open one to another. Upsuchos amavui. So I have the chatzeres open one to another. I have the chatzeres open to a mavui. So let's recall what we already established a couple days ago. For them to carry from one chatzer to another, they have to set up what's called a ruve chatzeres. For them to be able to carry from their chatzer into the mavui, they have to set up what's called shitaf mavos. And those are two different institutions. Those are two different takanas. Again, for Eruv, a chatzer has to be done with bread. Again, where's the depository for it? It's deposited in one of the homes. For the shitaf mavos, it could be any food, because there it's not establishing a singular residence. There it's just establishing unification. And so therefore, it could be any food. It could be wine. It could be vinegar. It could be anything which is caloric in nature. And in terms of where it's going to be deposited, it'll be deposited in one of the chatzeres. Okay, good. So I have these chamesh chatzeres psuchos zulazu, so they're open one to another. Various psachim allow one to walk from one chatzer to another, and they're also open into the same street. If you happen to have a picture over here, it would be helpful to see it, but anyway, it's pretty straightforward. So, eruve bechatzeres v'lo nishafu b'mavui. So let's say they made eruv chatzeres, but they didn't make a sheet of mavui. So mutar bechatzeres v'asum b'mavui. So they can now carry things from one chatzer to another, but they can't take something from the chatzer into a mavui. Now, in mishafu b'mavui, now if they made a sheet of mavui, so then mutarim kan v'kan. Now, it's not perfectly clear in the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says that they made a sheet of mavui, does that mean they made a sheet of mavui in addition to the Erev Chatzeres? Or does the Mishnah mean they made a sheet of mavui and they didn't make an Erev Chatzeres? Stay tuned, because we're going to discuss that very point. So anyway, mutar b'kan v'kan, but then under those circumstances, it's mutar, meaning they can carry from chatzer to chatzer, and they can carry from chatzer to mavui. Eruv v'chatzeres v'nishafu b'mavui. Now, if they made an eruv in the chatzeres and they made a shituf v'mavui, v'shachach echem imnei chatzer v'lo eruv, but one of the members of the chatzer forgot to contribute to the eruv, mutar b'kan v'kan. So then it's still going to be mutter, because you still have the sheet of mavoi operating as the unifier. Now, mimei mavoi v'lo nishtatef, let's say somebody didn't contribute to the mavoi, mutarim b'chatzir, v'asum b'mavoi. Well, the Erev is still intact, so everyone can carry from one chatzir to another, but you can't carry from the chatzir to the mavoi, because we have failed in terms of making the mavoi. Sh'amav l'chatzir is ke chatzir l'batim, because the mavoi is to the chatzir, is just like the chatzir is to the homes. Okay, so here in the Mishnah, what we need to clarify is basically who is the author of this Mishnah. Now, this takes us back to what we learned just yesterday's daf, and that is the machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. So you recall that we had a machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim in terms of if a sheet of mavoi was set up, so can the chatzir rely on the sheet of mavoi? Can we basically double dip with the sheet of mavoi? So you remember this was on Ein Aleph Amud Beis, where we introduced to the machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. If you quickly take a look back at Ein Aleph Amud Beis, so we learned in the Braisa. I'm reading now on the bottom of Ein Aleph Amud Beis. Ma'arvin bechatzeros bepas v'im rasul arav b'yain ein ma'arvin v'ein ma'arvin mishatfim b'mavui b'yain v'im rasul ishatif bepas mishatfim ma'arvin bechatzeros mishatfim b'mavui shalol lishkach toros erav min atinokos shiyam rav asena lo irva div Rav Meir. So Shitas Rav Meir is that even if you set up a sheet of mavui, you still have to make an Erev Chatzeres. And the reason why, and this is important because we're going to see this again in just a couple of minutes from now, and the reason why is because the even if we set up a sheet of mavui, but if we don't make an Erev Chatzeres, so the kids are going to be growing up within a chatzer and not knowing about Erev and not knowing about the concept, the institution of Erev Chatzeres. So therefore, just as good chinuch, so we, even though the shittuf in principle should work by itself in terms of unification, nevertheless, an Erev also has to be set up in addition to that. That is shittuf Rav Meir. And the Chachamim said, Oma Arvin Oma Shatvin. No, you can either set up an Erev or you can set up a shittuf. And if you set up a shittuf, the shittuf can now serve to double dip on the in the Erev. So with that stated, with a reminder now of the machlos between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, the question now in our Mishnah is actually pretty straightforward. We start with the Gemara of money. Who is the author of our Mishnah? So Rav Meir here, Damar Abina, Erev Veina Shittuf, is a Shittuf Rav Meir, that you need both Erev and Shittuf. So Ema Mitziyasa, Ve'im Nishtafu, B'mavu, Mutar, and Kan V'kan. So Asan L'Rabbanan, yeah, but the next case of the Mishnah, the second case of the Mishnah, is we may set up a Mavoi. So if we set up a Shittuf Mavoi, so that's good. And presumably, the way to read that Mishnah is that you only set up a Mavoi. The Amri Bechadasagi, it's only good for one. So Halokasha, V'im Nishtafu, Nami Kamar. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I'll tell you how to read the Mishnah. The way to read the Mishnah is that the Mishnah means that you set up a Shittuf in addition to Erev Chatzeres. Ema Seif, the Gemara says, okay, but let's go and look at the next case in the Mishnah. Erev Bechatzeres V'nishafu M'mavu V'shachachacha M'mnei Chatzer V'lo Erev Mutarim Kan V'kan. So what if you set up both and some member of one of the Chatzeres forgot to contribute to the Erev Chatzeres? So the Mishnah says, we're fine. In other words, we can basically rely on the sheet of Mavoi for the failed Erev Chatzeres. Now, Echidami. The Gemara says, now, let's think about this for a moment. Idlo batol, so am I mutarim. So the Gemara says, if no bittul was done, so it shouldn't be mutar, elab shita de batol. So he must have relinquished his rights. Ema Seif, the Gemara says, but I don't think he relinquished his right, because look at the next case of the Mishnah, which is shachachecha memnei mavoi v'lo nishatfu mutarim b'chatzeres v'asum b'mavoi. Because the next case of the Mishnah is that somebody forgot to make an Erev, someone forgot to contribute to the sheet of mavoi. And we said, okay, so the sheet of mavoi is down, but still the Erev Chatzeres is good, and we can carry from one chatzer directly to another chatzer through the Pesach that exists between these two chatzeres. So v'ida batal amai asum mavoi. Now, if the person who failed to contribute to the sheet of mavoi, can't he do bitul harishus? And the Gemara says, and I know what you want to tell me. V'chitema kasav Rabbi Meir in bitul rishus mavoi. Maybe bitul rishus just simply doesn't work by sheet of, maybe it only works by Eruv Chatzeres. The Gemara says, but that's not true. V'atanyu will enter the Braisa. Sharei bitul lachem rishus odiv Rabbi Meir. Rav Meir allows for bitul rishus even for a mavui, even for sheet of mavui. So elab shita de la batel, so there was no bitul. Mid the sefer de la batel, reisha nami de la batel. So Reisha v'Sefer Rabbi Meir Mitzias Rabbanan, and so now what comes out in the Gemara is an oddity, which is that I have the first case of the Mishnah going like Rabbi Meir, I have the last case of the Mishnah going like Rabbi Meir, and that middle case is going like the Chachamim. The Gemara says that's really odd. So the Gemara says, okay, so clarification. Kula Rabbi Meir. Truth of the matter is that the entire Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir. The time of my Amar Rabbi Meir being an Erev and sheet of Shalot Lishkach Toros Erev Minatinokos V'acha Kevan Deruba Erevu Lamishacha. The Gemara says, but over here I'll tell you how. Even the case, even that middle case. Let's review the middle case. We set up a sheet of we set up an Erev. Somebody here amongst the Chatzeros failed to contribute to the Eruv Chatzeros. Now, if it's Shitas Rav Meir and I need both, so the Mishnah says, oh, it's okay, because you have the Shitas Mavoi. And that's going to be able to double also as the Eruv Chatzeros. Now, we said, wait one second, that can't be Rav Meir, because Rav Meir says, you need both. What the Gemara now is arguing is that, no, this is Shitas Rav Meir. And the truth of the matter is that it's true. Over here, we came awfully close to having a full Eruv Chatzeros, and we did succeed in having a full Shitas. And over here, Rav Meir would be fine with it. Because, again, the Gemara says, let's remember. Why does Rav Meir say you need both? I need both because, fundamentally, Shitov Mavoi by itself works. The Erev Chatzeros, in addition, is necessary from an educational standpoint. In other words, I need the kids growing up in these Chatzeros to realize, to recognize that there's such a thing as called Eruv Chatzeros. In this case, where we have a Shitov Mavoi set up, so fundamentally now everyone's unified, and the purpose of Erev Chatzeros is now for chinuch purposes. So since we basically have an Erev Chatzeros laid out, and only one person did not contribute to it, so under those circumstances, Rav Meir says, I'm fine with that. Because the only reason why I have Erev Chatzeros in this case is just for the purposes of chinuch, and chinuch has been accomplished. Okay, Adkan, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from Amar of Yehuda, and it gives us an unbelievable opportunity to review. Here in Erevin Ein Gimel. So we finished off yesterday's daf regarding the machlokes Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, regarding you have a palatial estate where you have multiple groups living in this palatial estate. Is it considered like one entity or not? And we learned at the tail end of the Brisa that actually has a different take on it all, and that the Brisa really views them as one singular entity. Okay. Our big discussion today was twofold. Number one, we had a big discussion today regarding what establishes your requirement to make Erev Chatzeros. Is it where you're eating or is it where you're sleeping? The Mishnah itself does not provide a clear answer to that question. The Mishnah was describing a father with his sons living in the same chatzer. They sleep in their home, but they eat by the father's house. But the Gemara says, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're physically eating by the father's house. It could just simply mean that they're receiving a stipend from the father and they're eating in their own homes. Anyway, what comes out in the Gemara is it's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel debate this very issue in terms of whether or not Lina is Goreim or Pita is Goreim. Is it where you're sleeping or is it where you're eating? And so the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel existed in a number of different scenarios. We discussed the relationship that existed between the sons and the father, the relationship between the wives and their husband, the relationship between an Eved and their master, and the relationship that existed between a student and a Rebbe. And the Gemara tried to formulate what would be the way to view these kinds of relationships and the subordinate nature of one to the other, and whether or not regarding the halachas of Eruv Chatzeros, whether you need one, whether they could be viewed as one entity or they could be viewed as multiple entities. Okay, and that basically took us through the end of the first sugya of today. Second sugya of today takes us back to the machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, where we have both an Erev Chatzeros situation and a Shitov Mavoi situation, five Chatzeros in a row, each one open to the other, and there also happen to be abutting a Mavoi, and they're all open to the same Mavoi. So in order to carry from Chatzer to Chatzer, you need Eruv Chatzeros. In order to carry from Chatzer to Mavoi, you need Shitov Mavoi. And so now the question becomes, can one incorporation cover the other incorporation? So if we set Shitov Mavoi, would that now de facto also be a unification for the Erev Chatzeros as well? We already know this is a machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. We established that 2 days ago in Ayin Alpha Mid Beis, and the Gemara now wants to know, when our Mishnah gives these scenarios, is it subscribing to Rav Meir? Is it subscribing to the Shita of the Chachamim? And right now, where we land in the Gemara, is that it's subscribing to the Shita of Rav Meir. And the one case in the Mishnah, which doesn't seem to be going like Rav Meir, the Gemara says, no, it really is going like Rav Meir, because again, Rav Meir says that when you set up a Shita of Mavoi, it really does create incorporation now, where it unifies everybody. Eruv Echatzeros is needed in addition to that, Shalot Tishkach es Taras Eruv, so that the kids don't forget about Eruv. If I have most of the parties participating in the Eruv, in the Chatzer, so then the Chinuch has been taken care of. Adkan, we'll stop here.